Free thinkers only, in the words of Kanye West.
Yes.
Did he ever get that marble conference table? That's what I want
to
know.
He wants to have a conference. He's
going to need the table. He hasn't had that conference if he didn't get that table.
On the Boat Podcast.
Today we're reviewing Mystery Diners with Charles Stiles.
I've started an Instagram where I review the onion rings of New York City.
I would follow that Instagram. I have become an old man.
This Instagram, Colby?
I'm sorry.
Do you know what I'm referring to?
Maybe.
So the singer Lorde had a secret Instagram where she just reviewed onion rings.
Interesting.
Which makes a lot of sense for her.
Wow. I guess that's better than my Tumblr that I used to have where it was pictures of my favorite, you know those things that go on the end of shoelaces? I think they're called aglets.
Yes. They are.
So now that we've wasted that time, today's episode is the state of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this is kind of going to be a discussion about all of the films that have been leading up to the Avengers Infinity War, which is coming out in a couple of days. And we'll find out later if we're excited about it or not.
Yeah.
But it's going to be big. So we felt like it warranted an episode.
Definitely timely. Yeah. Since we have all these airstrikes going on right now that we're talking about all these Marvel horror movies, but we'll save it for locker room talk.
Once upon a time, comic books were just about beating up Nazis.
Yeah, I mean, Superman was kind of like Reagan's errand boy throughout the 80s, I'm pretty sure. So
yeah.
Daily Planet is fake news.
who knows what the next Doctor Strange comic is going to be about? All right, so I don't think we should waste any more time. Let's get right into it. Colby.
Let's get into it.
Tell us what we're doing first.
What we're doing is we're going basically film by film. We're going to cover them briefly at the beginning. And then at the end of this, we're going to hit on some topics and basically discuss them all. It's kind of going to be basically a free-for-all. Get all your thoughts out. But right now, we're just going to cover the brief overview of some of these movies and how we feel about them.
Okay.
Well, if I'm correct, we're basically doing a lightning round speed review of every Marvel movie thus far, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, darn. I am ready.
I wish that we would have thought about this a little sooner and prepared our tweet-length review for each one of these movies, and we could have just read it off. That could have been fun.
That would have been so good.
But next time, we'll do that.
Next time.
When we cover Mystery Diners. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we're going to go through in order. I think it's in order. I'm pretty sure I have it in order. So we're going to start with Phase 1 and a movie called Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Zach, how do you feel about Iron Man?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask to start with because we'll get into this later. But this is probably my favorite of the MCU. I think it's probably their best movie. Specifically, like the first act is flawless to me, everything leading up to him coming out of the cave. So, John David, what do you think?
John David.
Hot take. Saw Iron Man once in theater. Tony Stark largely annoys me as a character. Not my favorite.
All
right.
Review over.
I give that a mild on the spice scale.
We gotta get a spicy sound effect. I don't know what a spicy sound effect is.
Hi, caramba.
That was okay. That was a lukewarm take. Anyway.
Yeah.
I feel personally Iron Man, I think it's a good track, but I prefer War Pigs or Paranoid in Black Sabbath's earlier works. But
how do you feel about Crazy Train? Well, that is Ozzy.
No, it's just okay. That's his first solo song. But Iron Man, I never saw this in theaters. I watched it after I saw Iron Man 2. I think I saw it after I saw the first Avengers. I'm pretty sure. I think I saw it after I saw Age of Ultron. I really don't know what order I saw these movies.
We can't even say Age of Ultron without Zach cracking up.
I know. Yes. That's right.
I've told that story 12 times, and if I will tell it again, podcast. Anyway,
yep. That's called a callback, ladies and gentlemen. To
you would know if you've listened to everything.
Yeah,
go back and listen to every episode, starting with the first.
All right. Now we're going to talk about The Incredible Hulk, a movie I have never seen. Zach, how do you feel about it?
All right, how do I feel about this one? Saw it in theaters. The only real thing I remember about it is that the post-credits scene involved Tony Stark, and that's whenever I knew there was a larger... There was a larger play with this whole thing, and other than that, I don't really remember anything about this movie.
Saw it in theaters, can't remember it super well. Remember that I liked it at the time. And that's about all I know. Yeah, I think at the time when I saw it initially, I liked it. Yep.
Yep, I didn't see it, haven't seen it. I know it's about the Hulk and Abomination, Edward Norton's in it, but I do remember specifically the end scene. I remember that being a big deal, the post-credit scene with Tony Stark in it.
So, very quickly, I don't know, I know we don't have time, I'm doing it anyway. Is it possible to make a truly interesting, successful movie just based on the character of the Hulk?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Not unless you have another superhero involved.
I disagree. Well, I think you could have done Planet Hulk by itself, but then again, that does include Thor if you talk about that. Right. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think you have to do? I think you have to make the Hulk horror movie.
See, now that's interesting because that's kind of my thing about what DC should do with the whole Batman. Yeah. Franchise is that every movie should be the genre should be dictated by the villain.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I like that idea. Well, my thing with the Hulk is I think you play into the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of it all, and I think you create a psychological horror movie, and you paint Bruce Banner as a hero and the Hulk as a villain. It'd be hard to pull off now because obviously there's no surprise or suspense, but I think maybe there's something there, and I just think when he's the Hulk, it's not interesting anymore.
No, you have to do something experimental with it. Like, it's got to be like Darren Aronofsky making it or somebody like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2, second worst movie in the MCU. I'm trying to remember. I did kind of like Mickey Rourke, just him chewing up the scenery in it. But other than that, it just felt really rushed, and the ending was just like a big pile of loud crap.
Yeah.
John David?
This is one of two MCU movies I've never seen, along with Iron Man 3. So I have no thoughts.
Yeah, Iron Man 2 is a... It's the first, I don't know if it was, it was the first, I did see this one in theaters. It was the first Marvel movie I saw out of this new cinematic universe, and I was not impressed. Yeah. I did not care for Mickey Rourke. I thought he was too hammy. And this was during that weird Mickey Rourke revival we almost got.
The Wrestler.
Yeah.
This was his follow-up to The Wrestler, yeah, it was. I believe.
What a nightmare that would have been.
Anyway, yeah, I think this is towards the bottom of the Marvel movies for me. And with that, we're moving on to Kenneth Branagh's Thor.
Okay, I know John David has some spice for this one, but I think this movie is perfectly fine. I've watched it again within like the last 2 months, and there are parts of it that are not good. There are parts of it that are good, and then most of it is just okay, and I'm fine with that. I like this movie. I like Hemsworth. Natalie Portman, I'm always a fan. There we go.
I don't think it's bad. I think it's boring and generic. And Kenneth Branagh, whom I like, was a very bad choice.
I think his vision for the time it came out fit it, because he's known for his takes on classical, like Shakespeare works, yeah. And this is that old Norse mythology kind of stuff.
Which, in theory, is really interesting for this movie. Yeah. And an execution is very vanilla for this movie.
I agree. It is vanilla. And we will talk later about how that clashes with certain other films.
Yeah.
But for now, we're moving on to Captain America, the First Avenger.
Okay, so this one's kind of interesting, because this is the Captain America movie that nobody talks about.
Nobody talks about it.
And in a way, I like this one the best. It's got this Raiders of the Lost Ark feel to it that I just enjoy. It's more of an adventure movie than any of these other ones. I like this movie, and I think it still holds up. I like the Red Skull. I like that it was a little bit cartoony. Mm-hmm. I'm into this one. John David?
Hate this movie. I like it more than Thor. This one, it just didn't stick with me. I remember seeing it and being really into it partway through, and then it just sort of kind of falling flat to me by the end. The ending is anticlimactic, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's an MCU ending.
Spoiler alert, they're all anticlimactic to me.
Well, the comparison to Raiders of the Lost Ark, I definitely see that, and I feel that. The thing is that the Raiders of the Lost Ark, that ending is anything but anticlimactic.
Yeah.
That ending is God himself comes down and kills Nazis.
And it's as it should be.
Awesome.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's right.
Not so much.
Yeah, I happened to catch a pretty good bit of this on TV the other day, and it reminded me, I really enjoyed this movie when I saw it. It definitely really captured that comic book feel.
Mm. Yep.
It wasn't, I mean, because you can't really make Captain America dark like you can Batman, which is what I like, but it was good. I loved Hugo Weaving as Red Skull. Tommy Lee Jones was good in it. I thought pretty much my only part I kind of don't care for anymore is the beginning of it, from him getting in the super soldier serum stuff through
CGI head of Chris Evans.
Yeah,
it takes a while to get started.
It does, and I didn't realize that until I was watching it the other day, and it kind of does that, and then I didn't care for the whole, I mean, the first time I saw it, and he's doing the whole parade around, and the soldiers are like, they don't like him because he's not really a soldier, he's just kind of being a mascot for the army. I don't care for that anymore. I'm just kind of like, let's get to the action. And there's not that much action in it until the middle and the end. But and it's not the action heavy of the franchise, for sure. But it's a solid movie to me.
I agree that it's a solid movie. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't stuck with me. I found it a little boring. But I'll say, I don't really know what else to do with a Captain America movie, because he is the wholesome. Like, you're right, you can't take this dark. I will just quickly say, Wonder Woman did it better.
Ooh. Another
they are
spicy take.
Extremely similar movies.
They are.
And I do agree, Wonder Woman's a better movie.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And moving on, we are going to talk about The Avengers. The first one.
I just remember being blown away that they actually pulled it off. Now, whenever you like go back and try to describe the plot of this movie to someone else, it's so convoluted.
No, it's pretty simple. Loki meanders around New York for 2 hours.
But Joss Whedon thought he did a really good job at not only making it entertaining but also funny. And the action was good, and we got a good version of the Hulk for like the first time ever on the big screen.
My issue with this film is it has nothing to do with the film. It has to do with the fact that I saw it probably a couple weeks after it came out, and everyone had already lost their daggum minds over it, like saying how good it was. And then I went and saw it, and I was like, oh, like it was good.
Yeah.
It was fun. But it fun is the key word there. It's a very fun movie. Mm-hmm. And it is good. I think this is a very solid movie. They really kind of nailed what it needed to be. I blame this movie, however, for giving us what is basically the genre now of jokey superhero movie.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, this is a pattern you're going to see from me in these movies. I did not see this in theaters. I saw it. I rented it from Redbox the day we moved into our first apartment in Pensacola. And I watched it sitting on the floor of my bedroom. And I remember coming out of it thinking, that's not as good as everybody said it was. But it was a fun movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because everybody freaked out about it. And I thought it was a fun movie. It in a lot of ways is like, it's, and now it didn't do it nearly as well, but it's like Deathly Hallows Part 2, where we got all the talking out of the way in the first part.
And now we get to get
now we get
the
just
action.
Just yeah. the action. It's yeah. just it's yeah, just all out. And that's what I enjoy about this movie. It doesn't meander. It kind of meanders a little bit because you don't really know what's going on. And space bugs out of the sky and a big blue laser and all that stuff. But that was relatively new back then.
I'm going to be honest, though. Obviously, I know Loki is the villain, and I remember like a bunch of stuff comes down from space, but I could not tell you right now any of the major plot points of this movie.
There's not really any.
It's just kind of like Iron Man, like you think he died, but then he doesn't die. I think maybe that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes through into the wormhole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shwarma. That's what I remember.
Yeah, wait, shawarma. Is that the food place?
Yeah, that's yeah. where they eat at the last scene.
The last scene they go and eat.
Yeah.
I remember this was, wasn't this the introduction of Mark Ruffalo? Was he in another movie before this?
No, this was his introduction.
And I like Mark Ruffalo. I think I'm good. I haven't seen Incredible Hulk, but I think I like him compared to Edward Norton in this role. Because Edward Norton's a very serious actor.
He fits this role really well.
Yeah. So, yeah. I like the Avengers.
Yeah,
me too. Now we transition into Phase 2.
Phase 2.
Starting with Iron Man 3. John David, what's your opinion on a movie you've never seen?
It's my favorite one. This is the one that redeemed it. No, I have absolutely no idea.
Me neither. Excuse I haven't me. Seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. I love this movie. Shane Black directed and wrote it, I believe.
Yeah.
The biggest problem with this movie is that it came out after The Dark Knight Rises, because it's kind of the same story, where it's like we're led to believe this terrorist is like the main villain, but really he's a puppet for somebody that we had already seen on screen who has made themselves, like, ingratiated themselves with someone close to the hero. It's kind of the same thing, but
I just had flashbacks to your Ben Kingsley Gandhi impersonation.
We get to see Tony Stark wandering around the snowy woods of North Carolina. I love it.
Yeah, at least it did take a different
And I think, like, approach. This one, the most famous Tony Stark comic book, like, is the Demon in a Bottle, which is his like battle with alcoholism, and we get like the closest to that in this one, where he's having these panic attacks and substance issues. So
interesting.
I like this movie a lot.
I dig it.
This sounds more interesting than some of the previous ones.
It is.
And everybody hated it.
No, I mean, I think it was the problem everybody had with it was that this was the follow up to the first Avengers movie, and.
Yeah.
So it had one strike against it going into it. But what's next?
Next on this list in Phase 2 is Thor, The Dark World. I have not seen this movie.
Ooh. This one's rough.
This is the worst one in the MCU to me.
Hmm.
Yeah. Of the ones I've seen, that's definitely true. It is utterly pointless.
It's like they left out an entire act or something. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and poor Christopher Eccleston, who I like a lot, because he was the first in the Doctor Who reboots. He was the first Doctor. An underrated Doctor as well. I think he does a great job. But he has nothing to worry. I mean, it's not his fault. They just put him in blue face paint and shove him out there alone on stage. Yeah.
Would you say he's a good doctor?
I'm not playing into that. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to ignore it. Anyway, yeah, this one's not good.
Not good.
I feel like that's all we need to say.
Yeah, I mean, it was the last straw for Natalie Portman. She was like, I'm out. I'm not doing this again.
Pretty much.
Like, I just remembered I have an Oscar.
Huh. Yeah.
Bye.
All okay. right. And Next. Now we're talking about Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
I hate this movie.
Really? I haven't heard you talk about it.
Stroking my beard.
I love this movie. Yeah. I love it. This is high on my list.
Yeah, first movie in the MCU directed by the Russos, yes. If I remember correctly.
It is.
Colby does have a good point that Captain America is different. His like physical attributes are different in the movies they direct as opposed to yes. the Avengers movies. But I do agree with you. I like this movie a lot.
Well, the reason, and again, all of these things have been said on previous episodes, the reason I like this movie so much is because, to me, this is the first Marvel movie where Marvel realized, oh, we can take things from other genres and incorporate those. So the genre doesn't have to be straightforward superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It can start to incorporate things from other types of films. This movie is largely a political thriller.
Okay, Yes and no. I have some pushback to that. Like, the thing I hated about this movie when it came out is how everybody was like, oh man, this is like a movie from the 70s, just this paranoid political thriller acting like it's 3 Days to Condor or The Parallax yeah. View. It is not.
Everybody. Yeah, I agree with you.
No, man. It has Robert Redford in it.
No, I think it basically just has Robert Redford in it.
Yeah.
It is still a superhero movie at its heart, but it has it borrows some things from that and incorporates those into the plot, so it doesn't just feel like a big shoot 'em up bang bang. Also, though, this leads us into some of the like somewhat more interesting things that the MCU has done as far as the fracturing of the Avengers. It really kind of starts in this movie,
mm-hmm,
definitely,
because of the way that S.H.I.E.L.D. works out.
Yeah, I agree with you on it. Like The Dark Knight, what makes it great is that it's not a superhero movie; it's a crime movie.
Yes.
And while I'm not comparing this to The Dark Knight, don't get me wrong, but I do wish more Good. Superhero movies would do this.
Yeah.
DC, Marvel, True. You know, I wish that they would. Kind of take Absolutely. this route. I applaud them for doing so. Colby, you have been very quiet.
I really think when this movie came out, I judged it a little too well. I judged it with a different lens on.
Mm.
I was judging it through the eyes of a person who has seen The Dark Knight and was like, no, this is the best thing ever, not The Winter Soldier. So, in some aspects, I definitely feel like this movie is better than a lot of other Marvel movies. I really have a lot of nitpicks with it, though, as I do with most of these movies, but these really stood out to me, especially in an episode that we did a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I get this one's, it's good. I definitely would rather rewatch this one compared to a lot of other ones because yes. it's got more going on in it that I can kind of think about. And Robert Redford's in it. I love Robert Redford.
Redford, good Scarlett Johansson, good use of her in this one.
Yep.
I like the Falcon.
Where did that face cloning technology go? Why haven't we seen that again? Anyway, yeah. I'm nitpicking this movie again. Let's move on to Avengers. No, let's move on to Guardians of the Galaxy.
I love this.
I freaking love this movie.
I agree. It's so fun to me. It's right up there towards the top of the mm-hmm. MCU movies. James Gunn, them just kind of letting him go ISO and let it be completely his vision was a genius move by Kevin Feige.
Well, and it, think as we were saying just with Captain America, this movie does not. I would argue these are not superhero movies.
I agree. It's a sci-fi movie.
Yep.
It's really. It feels so much like the TV show Firefly.
Yeah. It's a space western type of.
It is. Mm-hmm. It really has a space western. So with these, they're in the MCU, and I'm interested to see how this works into, you know, the new Avengers, but I've definitely considered these their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I do too. This also, we'll get into this a little bit later, but Ragnarok is kind of the same way.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we'll save.
Save for a little later.
Yep. This is another one. I did not see it in theaters. I remember this movie was the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It was the biggest people thing.
People died over this movie.
And I rented it on Redbox and watched it, and I was like, yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah.
So I've grown to appreciate it a lot more now because I've seen what else the MCU has to offer since then.
I think we have a bit of a recurring theme here that we should just say, people, do not let the general public's opinions of a movie affect the way you view a movie.
Free thinkers only, in the words of Kanye West.
Yes.
Did he ever get that marble conference table? That's what I want to know.
He wants to have a conference.
He hasn't had that conference if he didn't get that table.
No.
let's move on to Marvel's, or Disney's Marvel's, The Avengers, Age of Marvel's, Disney's Ultron, of the Planet of the Apes.
So, I semi-recently re-listened to our Ultron review episode that we did, and first of all, I'd forgotten that we recorded that at 1 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
It was,
sounds like us.
It was quite late.
We've never done this at 9 in the morning.
We also did that review like coming off the high of seeing it in theaters. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that I know my opinion on this movie has not aged as well.
Did we all like really like it?
I think we all gave it like, I remember I gave it an A-. I think you gave it an A-, and Colby gave it a B+.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And I do not stand by that review.
Yeah, I really don't either.
Free thinkers only.
It was more about the experience of watching that movie.
Oh, my God.
with the people that we watched it with.
Oh,
and if you want to hear that, you have to go and listen to that episode.
And just very briefly, in case you don't know, we went and saw that movie with what can only be described as like people who I am sure are buying their tickets right now to see Bon Jovi on their current tour.
Mm.
You did not deliver what I thought. I thought I was really excited about what you were going to say.
Yeah.
I think you kept watering it down in your head.
I was thinking more like, you know, in the first Kingsman movie, that church that he goes to. We saw it with that congregation. Yeah, this movie is average, I would say. I think it's kind of ranks towards the bottom of the MCU movies in retrospect. Yeah, Ultron was a cool villain, but also misused.
Yeah,
and the James whole
Spader was great.
Yeah, he was, but
he
the whole Sokovia, like, we're gonna lift an entire city up off the ground.
We're gonna lift the entire city off the ground, and we're gonna find a way to save every single person in this city.
Yeah, nobody died.
Yeah, it's dumb. You're
forgetting about the very impactful death of Marvel's Quicksilver.
Yeah,
which. Is funny because he was lame and died, and then in the X-Men movies, he's one of the best parts of those movies.
Yeah,
and he's still alive.
It's all about how you treat the character.
I would love to I would love to see the X-Men Quicksilver in the like Avengers movies.
Mm-hmm.
He would actually be right at home.
I think he would be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next
movie. I will say about my review on that, I only remember saying that I really liked the Hawkeye stuff, and I'm standing by that. I don't remember what I said about the other parts of it. So I don't know about that, but yeah.
Jeremy.
And.
You try so hard, your character's so dumb.
Yeah, I know. But he doesn't even care about these movies. He's too busy flipping houses. I mean, y'all know that, right? Y'all know that about Renner?
It would not surprise me.
His, like his side business.
His, I think it's his main business, and I think acting is his side business. He's very passionate about house flipping.
His other side business is taking care of wolves in the in North Dakota or Wyoming, wherever that movie
is. All right, what's next?
Next is the end of Phase 2, Ant-Man, starring Paul Rudd.
I like this movie.
I do too. It's a very rewatchable Marvel movie.
It's not as good as it could have been.
No, it's not as good as it could have been. If Edgar Wright had stayed on and directed it, it would have.
I fully agree.
Yeah. It just blows my mind. Because at the time, I remember thinking, oh, man, I wish he would have stayed on and directed it. But now I'm like, they had Edgar Wright in there, like, making a movie for them.
Yeah.
And they chose to interfere.
I mean, we basically got the Diet Wright version of it.
Yep.
Which was
fun, IGA reference for all you grocery store enthusiasts.
Yeah, which was fun. I thought Paul Rudd was perfectly cast.
Absolutely.
I loved everybody in that movie.
Michael Pena.
Yeah, Pena was great.
Evangeline Lilly in movies.
Corey Stoller, Michael Douglas returning to make movies again after him and Shia LaBeouf's
throat cancer.
Yeah, well, that too. And Wall Street laughing? Money never sleeps.
You laughing? What a good point.
You've obviously never seen Basic Instinct, and that's fine.
Yeah, obviously never seen Behind the Candelabra with Matt Damon.
No.
Neither have I, to be fair. Yeah, no.
All right.
Fun movie. I watched it again a couple weeks ago. I really like this movie. There's a couple of these in, we're in Phase 3?
No, we're still in Phase 2. It's in the Phase 2.
Like, that's kind of the recurring theme for Phase 2 is like, I liked it when it came out, but after watching it with some distance between the times, I liked it even more the second time. And we'll get into that a little bit more with some of these other ones, I believe.
I can agree. I thought it was fun. I only saw it once in theaters. But I have been recently getting the itch to kind of rewatch it before the new one comes out, just to make sure I've covered my bases.
I'm fairly excited for the new one.
Yeah.
It could be. Could be good.
I haven't seen a trailer for it. Have y'all?
Yeah. Okay. The teaser, fun. Anyway. Moving on into Phase 3, we're starting with Disney's Marvel's Captain America's Civil War.
Everyone just liked this more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
I feel the same way. I think what everybody loved about it was that Black Panther and Spider-Man were in it.
Yep.
And that caused everybody to like bump this up another star higher than it should have been.
Well, the other thing is this movie suffers to me from like tonal shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole middle fight is a lot of fun.
Oh, that middle fight might be the single best thing that has happened in an MCU movie.
I disagree.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's and I like it. And then the end of that movie is pretty dang dark. Mm-hmm. And the beginning of that movie, lots of that movie is very dark. And then in the middle, it's like, I don't know, you watch a bunch of people play freeze tag.
Yep. That's an accurate description of this movie. And that's kind of what I feel about that big fight scene is I wish it would have had some consequences. I remember in the trailer they show War Machine kind of going down. Looks like he's going to die. I'm like, ooh, they might kill War Machine. I don't care, but that's something.
Which, I mean, can that just happen?
No. We have to have them all here for Infinity War. Who's going to stop Thanos?
Not War Machine. He's not.
He's too busy. What's this show on Showtime? Don Cheadle's is a House of Lies or something.
House of Lies.
House of Lies.
He's too busy doing that. I don't think it is
either.
But I remember coming out of Civil War about middle of the road. But as I've thought about it and seen it a little bit more, I haven't seen it a full second time. But I do think back about how Daniel Brühl's character Zemo has stuck with me. Kind of the movie he thought he was in. I yeah. really like that movie.
yeah.
because he's very dark in that movie.
Arc, to me, his art as a villain, they were really trying to go for like a crazy emotional gut punch.
Yep.
And it didn't quite land because I thought you didn't give him enough.
Exactly.
To be this mad about.
Yeah. Okay. Hot take. Hot take alert. So this movie came out like 2 weeks after Batman v Superman. What if we traded the villains in those movies where Jesse Eisenberg was in Civil War and Daniel Brühl was in Batman v Superman? I think the villains fit better.
Yeah, as far as tone goes, for
tone,
sure.
Tonally.
Tonally, yeah. Tonally, yes. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Okay. So, I think all of us with Civil War... Well, the thing is, too, I think overall, I like both parts of those movies. I like the darker and I like Freeze Tag. I just don't feel like putting them in the same movie doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk a little bit about why I don't care for most of this movie later, because it's a big theme of the whole franchise. But for now,
Okay. We'll
move on to Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange.
So this is another one that, upon rewatching it, I like this movie more. The first time I saw it, the humor in it was kind of jarring to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I did read that they had Dan Harmon on set, like writing one-liners for him to use. And that's obvious.
Sounds right.
It just felt out of sync with the rest of like what was going on in the movie.
They could have put Chevy Chase in this movie.
But
I want Chevy Chase as the mystic one.
Yeah, the ancient one. I find Stephen Strange, the character, and the Sorcerer Supreme aspects of all of it like really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited about what they do with this character going forward, and I do believe he's going to be maybe the most important person when it comes to defeating Thanos.
He sure is looking like it from all the trailers.
And when you look at what he can do, he probably should be.
I mean, he can literally do anything.
This is... This might be on a list later. I just thought this is maybe the coolest, besides now Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
When it came out, did they steal so much from Inception? Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They stole so much cinematography from Inception, so much to do with their special effects, but it was cool. And I saw this, I'm not an IMAX 3D kind of person normally, but I just sort of happened to see this in IMAX 3D, and that was the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
My poor wife was a little high on pain meds when I made her go see this with me in IMAX 3D. That was probably a bad decision, but I had a good time anyway.
I bet she had fun.
I think she was asleep. I think there's a solid chance that she was asleep.
I bet she had a crazy, crazy dream then when she was watching that.
I bet she did. This was after surgery, but yeah. When I say I love this movie, I don't mean like, this is just the greatest thing. This was so fun. It was such a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was just cool.
I thought it was good up until the end, but
another recurring theme with most Marvel movies.
Yeah. But what I really think is good about this movie, and it hasn't happened in the other movies to me as well as this one, was the cast that they got. They got names and they put them in a movie. They got Cumberbatch. Yeah. They got Chiwetel Ejiofor. They got Mads Mikkelsen, who I really like. Yeah. And I thought he was a great villain.
Me too. He was great.
Rachel McAdams.
She was in that movie, mm-hmm. Now that I think about it. Okay. And I can't think of Tilda Swinton.
Okay, Natalie Portman's not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
We need a replacement.
Yeah. Tilda Swinton.
And who was the end monster? I can't even remember his name. The actor or the...
Let me look and see. IMDb.
Was it not just like an...
Wait, I mean, you're talking about like the...
The Galactus thing at the end of it.
Yeah.
Was that a person?
Had a voice.
It had a voice, but I'm not seeing it.
I think it was like a thing.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But regardless, yeah. This one, this to me also stands out. Where, I mean, it obviously does feel like a superhero movie in ways, but in ways it feels, well, it's just not a typical superhero movie like Powers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's more a fantasy, sci-fi,
yeah,
particularly fantasy, mm-hmm, than a lot of others.
Fun fact, directed by Scott Dickerson, who also directed the first Sinister movie. So there's that.
Well,
yeah.
What's next?
What's next is our favorite 80s action star in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Kurt Russell.
I mean, I like this movie. It was,
me too.
It was exactly what I wanted it to be, which, I don't know, it's kind of disappointing. I don't like where we got to, like, the end point with Kurt Russell's character, like, whenever he just became the planet.
Yeah.
I hated that part of it.
This is a weird plot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you really step, because you're watching it and it's fun, you just go along, and then you kind of think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird plot.
Yeah, I mean,
and I almost wish the movie had embraced the weirdness of it a little more.
Yeah. So that's my thoughts on this movie, are minus the undercutting jokes that it does a lot of it, I really, really like this movie. This is definitely one of my favorites. I even like it better than the first one for the most part. I think the first one's a tighter film, but the stuff that goes on in this one is so much more impactful to me than the other stuff. The stuff with Yondu, I didn't think I would care about Yondu at all.
I didn't either, and then I really cared about Yondu.
I really did, and I actually thought the Kurt Russell stuff was pretty, it got weird. But it was entertaining for a final scene, because it was like, okay, you're learning that Star-Lord is, like, apparently another super, super, super human and, like, a god planet now. And it was still good. I thought they did enough, even though it was as slow as it was.
Sorry.
You're good.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, I compared this slightly to a movie we saw that you might have seen called Star Wars The Last Jedi, with the fact that the plot kind of doesn't do anything. It just kind of stops, but you just kind of learn what's going on in those moments.
That's true. It is. It's like we come into this with like this universal size scope, universe size scope, but we just kind of zoom in and pause for like the length of an entire movie, which I did like that. I love the Yondu, the Michael Rooker stuff.
The Michael Rooker stuff was great.
They really utilized Dave Bautista in this one. Yes. Gave him more to do. He's great. Mm-hmm. The opening scene with the Mr. Blue Skies song playing, I thought looked really good. The look of these movies is so fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too. Well, and it's one of those things where I know that you're just manipulating me with the cuteness of Baby Groot, but you're successful.
It worked. I freaking loved Baby Groot.
I did love Baby Groot. I loved Yondu shooting his arrow through every living soul on that ship.
Listen,
also, what a dark part of that movie.
Yeah.
Well, you're dealing, and this is what I was getting to, was you're dealing with James Gunn, who is a king of dark, weird, and gory comedy. Like, he's really good at all of those things. And like you said, I kind of wish they would have let him go full weird with it when he gets pretty weird with it. But I really enjoy that, like, people die and there's consequences in this world. And that's, I like that better.
Also, they fleshed out Karen Gillan's character. They fleshed out Nebula,
as well.
Where in the first movie, you're just like, whatever. But in this one, they did good stuff with her.
I do have to say, like, I've taken my nephews to a lot of movies over the years, but we have never laughed harder than whenever Michael Rooker was floating down with that umbrella and said, "I'm Mary Poppins, y'all." That, the whole theater died laughing. I think this one's funnier than the first one, or at least the laughs are more impactful.
It has more jokes.
Yeah, but the thing is with me, the first one just felt so fresh and was so different than everything else that we had seen in the MCU.
I agree.
That this one, it just couldn't quite live up to that through no fault of its own.
Yep, same thoughts exactly.
Okay.
All right, next.
Next, we are talking about a little film called Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes. Go ahead, John.
I like this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Would like it more if I had not ended up seeing it three times in theaters. That really wasn't my choice. It's just one of those things that happens because you're with people and you keep going to see that movie. But I liked it a lot. I
didn't think you would like it, as it's very close to Ferris Bueller's Day Off, a movie you don't care for.
I don't think it's as good as Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 1 and 2.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
But I like it a lot. It again, it's that same formula to me of the most successful Marvel movies. It's something before it's a superhero movie, and it does it well.
Mm.
Yeah, I pretty much feel like the stuff with Michael Keaton I don't know why
Birdman.
I
remember
his name. His
just call him McDonald's.
His stuff in this movie was the best part of it by far, especially towards the middle, the actual homecoming dance part of it.
Yeah,
where you get those good scenes, the reveal, like all of that was. I did not see it coming. I was very jarred by that, but. As far as the rest of the movie, I really don't care. I don't remember what happened through most of it. It just didn't stick with me at all. I remember him being stuck in a warehouse. I remember him just pulling the ship back together, which is totally a ripoff of the second one.
So, my biggest qualm with this movie is the part when he's in the warehouse. And by the third time I saw it in theaters, I was quoting it along with Spider-Man. He's going, "Come on, Spider-Man! Come on, Spider-Man!"
Yeah.
Talking to his like reflection in the puddle, giving himself a nap towel.
Yeah,
that was a lot. And like the strings start to swell behind him. Yeah, could have done without that.
Yeah.
But I like this movie.
I obviously love this movie. It was my number tied for number 10 for me on our floaties last year.
Was.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add that I didn't already say about it then. So
yeah, my biggest thing, I think I'm a weird Spider-Man purist for whatever reason. When it comes to those three originals, I'm very protective of all of them.
All three
of them. Mm. You want my hot take? Three is not as bad as everybody's saying it is.
Scorch, we got a take quake.
You getting them, and I ain't done. So we're just now in the middle of phase three. Okay, so yeah, I have qualms with Spider-Man movies past the third Spider-Man. I have qualms with that movie too, but these just don't do anything for me as far as Spider-Man goes. I thought they did a pretty good job with Tom Holland. I thought he was good,
mm-hmm.
Better than Andrew Garfield. I thought, what's her name? Zendaya?
Yeah,
is that her name? She was good.
I really like her.
Well, I saw The Greatest Showman.
No, I forgive her.
I don't. But now we get to move on to last year's favorite, Thor Ricknick.
Ricknick. Yeah. Go ahead,
freaking
John David.
I love this movie.
Yeah.
This is, well, I mean, we're about to get there. This is my favorite that they have come out with so far. This was my favorite Marvel movie that we've had. It was so fun. And again, if you'll listen back to the previous, I don't know, hour, however long we've been going, I do not like Thor 1 and 2, and I was not expecting anything out of this movie. And then I just kind of lost my mind. Because it was a science fantasy type thing, like, done so well. Like, if this had not been a Thor movie, or if not been the MCU, if this had just been a character, I mean, you'd given me an evil Cate Blanchett, Tessa Thompson, who I love, her as Valkyrie was great. Jeff Goldblum. Being Jeff Goldblum.
So tired of Jeff Goldblum.
Just perfect. It was, it struck the right balance between an incredibly funny movie, but with a plot that was still serious. Like, it didn't, where it's funny to the point where it's almost like a farce.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's almost in the vein of, like, I don't know. I'm like, Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Not, it's obviously not there.
It's like Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Exactly. Where, like, it's in some ways, like, just three notches removed.
Yeah.
But it still manages to be serious in some way that you do care about. I mean, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And it's weird. It is such a weird movie. And it's visually fantastic. Mark Ruffalo is great in it. I love it. Absolutely love it.
I agree. Directed by Taika Waititi. One of Marvel's better decisions was to kind of give him the reins to this one. And let him make a fun, funny Thor movie. Now, my cousin Barry, who is probably the biggest Marvel fan that I know, his review was, it's too funny. Like, the humor took away from the movie. And I don't know that I disagree with him. Like,
I think that the problem is you're asking me to take Thor seriously.
Right.
Which you've tried to do in two movies and doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yep. This is the biggest divide on a movie. I can go one day and be like, this is definitely the best movie Marvel's made, and then I can go the other day with being like, they really missed the mark with this one. I my feelings on this movie fluctuate so much.
That's interesting.
It really does, because I, on one side of it, I love that they got Taika Waititi, and his whole style of comedy is perfect. Like, he is a great comedic writer. He really knows what he's doing when it comes to that stuff, and I thought the jokes were pretty good. But then on the other hand, I'm like, this was a really good story that they could have done seriously and done dark. And yeah, it would have been really cool if it would have been taken by the right director. I don't know who it would have been, but
I feel like it would have turned into Zack Snyder trying to do something.
And you're not wrong. I really would love to see the dark version of this movie removed from the Marvel Universe. It's kind of, if the first two Thor never happened, I want to see this movie. If it wasn't attached to that, because I think it would have been, I think it could have been really, really good. I thought they had all the pieces there with Cate Blanchett, and the look of it was really good. But you could tell as soon as the trailer started showing up for this, that this was going to be a completely different Thor movie. Completely different. They were definitely going for that Guardians of the Galaxy style of bright colors and funny jokes throughout, and it's good. I really like this movie. I fluctuate on it all the time. Speaking of fluctuations, Black Panther. A little movie that come out.
Yeah.
This year.
Little movie.
Starring Andy Serkis and Martin Freeman.
Go ahead, John David.
I like this movie a lot.
I do too.
I like the first half of this movie a lot. Like, a lot, a lot. And I like the second half of this movie still pretty well.
Yeah.
But the first half of this movie is freaking fantastic.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. This movie gets so much right. And, of course, brilliantly casted all the way around. I know Colby jokingly mentioned Andy Serkis and Martin Freeman, but Andy Serkis is just chewing it up, man. He is,
and
he's like, oh, they're giving me some lines in a movie. They're going to regret this.
What as myself,
what
with
I,
my human face.
What I hate about this movie is the fact that it had Andy Serkis as a villain. He wasn't like in another movie, like in a, he didn't get to be like in Black Panther 2 was the villain, like the main villain for the whole thing. He was so freaking good. I loved his performance in this movie, even though it was short lived.
But I think kind of I think everyone's favorite thing about this movie was
the CGI.
Was Michael B. Jordan what was the villain, Killmonger? I think that's kind of universally accepted, right? That Killmonger
is fantastic.
Is definitely, I mean, Loki might be the best villain in the MCU, but Killmonger is right there. I prefer Killmonger myself.
Well, I mean, we're also comparing apples and oranges here.
A little bit. Loki is so, he's not really a bad guy. He's just kind of there to cause trouble every now and then. Because he doesn't really have, he has selfish motivations, kind of. But they also kind of toss that out the window, especially in Ragnarok. He's just kind of like a side character who's just trying to get back home. That's kind of all he's doing. And he's like the main villain of the first Avengers and a lot of other Thor movies.
Mm.
But
and it's just not real. And with Killmonger, we are getting like a real person.
True. I will say Killmonger is my favorite part. He's not perfect, though. And he's not as fleshed out as he should have been. I almost think they should have completely taken out Andy Serkis from this movie, even though he's one of my favorite parts, and just made the whole movie Black Panther versus Killmonger. Because he doesn't show up until, like, well, he's in the first bit, robbing the store or whatever, getting the mask and the Wakanda metal that I can't think, vibranium.
Yeah.
But then he shows up about halfway in the movie, and then it's his movie, but from there on out.
Yeah. I see what you're saying, but I definitely don't disagree. My problem with the movie is just sort of generally the third act with the whole...
It gets very bloated.
Like, huh?
It gets very bloated to me.
Yeah, it does. And I think it could have been a more effective story done a little more simply, maybe without sort of the internal war in Wakanda. That part I didn't really buy.
You mean like the Daniel Kaluuya's character?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Wakanda.
So all that kind of stuff. And also like, even to the extent the death of T'Challa or the you think death of T'Challa. I don't know. Like that, it's sort of like that happens and then a movie that's had quite a lot of surprises, you suddenly know exactly where it's going.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a bit of a fault. Where a movie that's taken me by surprise up to this point then becomes very predictable.
Yep.
However, I'm going to say that all of these are kind of minor complaints because we are still dealing with a movie in the MCU and it is a superhero movie and there is just a bit of DNA. I mean, we can make the same complaints of The Dark Knight Rises, a movie that we all adore. Which so... movie? You know, it still falls into a lot of those same types of tropes. And tropes are just there and they're part of it. And I think that's okay. This movie is so freaking cool.
Yeah.
I love it. The casting is so good for every character. Maybe my personal favorite, besides for Michael B. Jordan, and in ways even more, is what's her name?
The sister.
The girl from The Walking Dead. No, the girl from The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. She was one of the bodyguards. I can't remember what they're called.
That part where she has the spear into the car and she's like riding on it was just cool.
Yeah.
The whole scene in South Korea is so cool.
Yeah, but the thing is like, it's kind of. It kind of reminded me of The Last Jedi, where, like, in the middle of this movie, there's a
whole
15-minute stretch where it's a different movie. Like, it just becomes a James Bond movie for 10 minutes.
That's a really good James Bond movie.
I mean, it's Skyfall. Like, it's...
Well...
for, like... I don't get me wrong, I enjoyed that part. It was kind of jarring to go from Wakanda to street racing in Korea.
I don't know. Street racing in Korea was my favorite part of the movie.
It was cool.
It's that great CGI. Speaking of casting, other than Michael B. Jordan, my favorite was Forrest Whitaker by far. He was amazing in this role.
He stepped right off the set of Rogue One.
As Saw Gerrera.
Yes. Goodness.
Save the Empire.
This man won an Oscar.
Yeah.
As the last king of Scotland.
Yeah. So we do need to say Ryan Coogler directed.
Yep.
Great job. Good job, Ryan.
He
did it.
He did. He did a great job.
Even though his name is close to Cougar, he directed Black Panther.
So far, this movie has made $1.3 billion.
Sweet goodness.
Yeah. In the States, it's at $677 million, which I believe is the third highest grossing movie in the United States ever.
I think it is. I think so.
I think it's past Titanic, and it's only behind Avatar and The Force Awakens.
Question.
Yep.
Does this movie get an Oscar nomination for Best Picture?
I'm saying no.
No.
I'm saying no. No. I agree.
Best visual effects, though.
Maybe. I'll be ticked off if it gets a visual effect.
It'll get costume.
Yeah. Costume, definitely. It should.
Great. KJ deserves it.
Makeup, yes.
I mean, there's really nothing else that could be nominated. For me, it couldn't.
I agree.
This is what Andy Serkis is going to win his Oscar for.
I mean,
it's, can you imagine? Imagine?
Would I be outraged? Would I be pissed off if it gets an Oscar nomination? No, because like,
I would just want anything different to get in there.
Yeah, I want more people to care about the Oscars, and until we get something like. Really, until we get something like Black Panther or Star Wars Episode 9 or something like that.
Was a step forward.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was the only movie. That and Dunkirk were like the only two movies that anybody had seen.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't care if more people care about the Oscars. I don't really care about the Oscars. But
you might even say that you hate the Oscars, Colby?
You could say that. You could say that.
Speaking of which, neither one of you have... followed up on the assignment.
I haven't even assigned anything yet.
Well, I've been waiting.
Anyway. I almost watched Michael Clayton the other day.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
What's next
is the future of Marvel. Let's just talk briefly about Infinity War, Captain Marvel, and Inhumans, as well as Infinity War 2, the last of Phase 3 in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Which I don't think is going to actually be called Infinity War 2. I think
it's going to be called something else.
I think they decided it's not going to be called that.
So, Infinity War looks like it is... At least the final act looks like it takes place in Wakanda, which I think is a pretty good decision because they're going to get a lot of people to come out since it's going to look like a sequel to Black Panther. I've got some predictions. I think Captain America dies in this one.
I don't think he dies in this one.
I do.
I think he dies and gets resurrected.
I don't think you make an Avengers Part 2 without Captain America.
Okay, am I... correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Is there a Resurrection Stone or is that Harry Potter? I know it is Harry Potter. But is it just Harry Potter?
I think it's just Harry Potter.
Are you sure?
I'm not entirely sure, no, but I think it's just Harry Potter. So I think Chris Evans is done.
Chris Evans been done. He made that one movie Gifted, and he's like, I want to do more things like this, even though nobody watched it.
Yeah.
But
I think that Chris Evans is like, I'm done. And Disney, they turned that piece of paper down. They shoved it across the table. They said, look at how much we're going to give you for Infinity War Part 2 or whatever we call this thing. We'll call this like Cap's Return. Flipped the paper.
Flipped
the paper and he said, I'll be there Monday morning.
Wait, are you saying that they folded up a piece of paper, slid it across the table and said, this is our number?
Yes.
Okay. No. So I think there's going to be a major character that dies in this one. I would say Hawkeye because he would have the least impact on the story, but also he's going to have the least impact on the story. So I think they go bigger. I don't think it's going to be Tony Stark.
I think they kill Tony Stark before they can. I can get behind that Captain America dies. I just don't think he dies in this one.
Yeah. I mean, we know that he does at some point because Bucky becomes Captain America.
And Chris Evans wants to not make these anymore.
I mean, have you seen him recently? He's got like a flat top and a thick mustache.
Doesn't even have it. Like, I don't. I really don't know what
that's also because he's in a Broadway play that requires him to have a flat top.
And we couldn't even get Henry Cavill to shave his mustache. I don't know if this is a thing. Like, I don't know why he doesn't have his shield in this movie, but it really bothers me. In the trailer, because he's got like this weird shield.
It's made out of vibranium.
His old shield was made out of vibranium.
I read something about there's something special about this shield.
It's also got Jarvis inside of the shield.
I think I'm betting that it's going to be T'Challa's sister designed it.
Probably. I do agree. This movie's ending on a down note, and it's going to end with Thanos getting all of the Infinity Stones.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Part 2 is going to be Voldemort attacking Hogwarts. That's going to be the point of
him getting all the Infinity Stones will mean death of the Vision, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
which now that's fine. Kill him.
But so okay, Captain America is like the least useful in this fight.
You cannot do anything.
But he's the most popular Avenger.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, no.
Besides Black Panther now.
Hold on. No, Tony is... That's who this whole thing is built on, the back of Tony Stark.
Have you heard of Rocket Raccoon?
The American public. No. Captain America is the most popular.
That's right.
I will disagree wholeheartedly.
I disagree,
I think
too.
That Captain America has the heart of America.
Anyway.
I think he's so boring.
How do we feel about Brie Larson's Captain Marvel?
Is
she going to be in this?
I don't think so. That movie is set in the 90s. The Captain Marvel movie is like set in either the late 80s or the 90s.
I think she's not going to be in this one.
I'm pretty sure she's filming it. I'm pretty sure I've seen her in costume and stills.
Well, yes, yeah, she's doing a Captain Marvel movie.
Oh.
Yeah. It's coming out next year.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about Captain Marvel being in the Infinity War?
No, I'm talking about Captain Marvel's movie.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know anything about Captain Marvel.
I don't either. That's why I said briefly.
Because that's how I originally knew him.
Okay, so we don't really care. No. Marvel's Inhumans. I don't know anything about
it. I thought that was a TV show. Didn't they turn it into a TV show, which was a big failure?
Yep.
I don't think anybody cared about it.
It's like they're on the moon.
Well, they...
And that woman has long hair. Like, that's her superpower. She has long hair.
That's, you're thinking of Tangled.
Disney. They're all about Disney now.
Disney's Marvel's Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, so let's see here. There were 8 episodes. It has a 5.2 rating on IMDb. People did not like this.
It was not well received.
No, so Marvel kind of has a lot riding on whatever happens in this movie and the next Avengers movie is going to set up like their next 10 years.
Because they can't keep making Avengers movies, right?
Well, they will. It's just going to be different people replacing the people that we knew. Like, it's going to be built around... the next wave of Avengers movies is going to be Stephen Strange. It's going to be T'Challa. It's going to be probably Ant-Man. And I'm guessing Hemsworth is probably going to hang around.
He says he wants to, and goodness knows he does not have anything else going on.
But well, Ghostbusters 2.
Downey, Scarlett Johansson, Chris Evans, and Ruffalo, like, we need them out making other things.
For the love of God, yes.
So, but the other people, I mean, I love Benedict Cumberbatch, and he's going to just kind of do whatever he wants to, but...
It's not... He's a different kind of movie star.
Right. And he's going to be getting some serious bank that he won't be making with any other project that he does.
Like, I'm sure Sherlock pays well, but they don't have that Disney money.
No.
Can there be a fight scene in Infinity War with Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch fighting against Chris Evans and Michael B. Jordan for the most meta moment in all of superhero history?
So, question. Disney, I don't think the deal is done yet, but reportedly Disney is purchasing Fox, which will give them the right to the X-Men characters as well as the Fantastic Four. How does this affect the MCU going forward in the opinion of you guys.
Do they put Deadpool in?
They'll put it all in.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sick of it. Oh, I hate it.
Let's save this because I want to do an episode on the state of Disney. And I don't mean their cartoons. I mean everything else.
Florida and California.
Around Solo.
States, plural.
Okay.
So yeah. I want to save... I mean, we can get into part of it, but I want to save elements of it as well.
Listen, I've heard really good things about Solo.
From who?
I have.
Alden Ehrenreich?
No. I was listening to... I can't remember which podcast it was, but... Yeah, they were saying that, like... The buzz, early buzz coming out of it is that it's surprisingly good, which...
Well, Dan Levitard?
I hope so, too. I thought it was going to be terrible, but...
Me, too.
We'll see.
Okay, anyway. But so as far as Disney getting these others, I think it would be a huge mistake to put the X-Men in these movies. For one, Scarlet Witch is already Magneto's daughter, and that is going to be complicated. Like, we don't need to introduce him into these. The X-Men is already its own, like, expanded universe. Basically, every X-Men movie is already an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
It's a huge scope of people. We cannot have that much. At some point, you have too many people, and there's no movie left between them.
Right. Now, I love the X-Men, so I like the idea of kind of doing the MCU style approach to the X-Men writ large, where like each character gets their own like introductory movie, and we see another character like in the background or something.
I can be done with that.
Yeah.
So, as long as those movies don't involve Wolverine anymore.
No, I mean, we're not getting Jackman anymore.
I hope not. And he's great. And I liked that last one a lot. But fatigue.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what's next?
Next, we're just moving into a general discussion. Let's talk about directing styles across the films. Because that's really the only point of variation in this entire decade's worth of films. Is who directed it, and even that was controlled a lot by the studio. But, like, among the highlights, obviously we've talked a little bit about it, are Favreau's, you know, kind of footprint on how it started.
Yeah.
And then ending with three great directors, James Gunn, Taika Waititi, and Ryan Coogler, mm-hmm. who I'm glad they're getting a little bit out of their comfort zone with some of these directors and making better movies. And it's clearly showing to me that,
yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
That, well, it's working.
I mean, I would even throw, I can't remember the guy's name who directed Spider-Man Homecoming, but he's the guy who did Cop Car.
Yep. And Clown.
And Clown, which I never saw, but I would throw him in there too, because that one kind of had its own distinct style. There is a point from, like, pretty much everything in Phase 1 up to...
Real quick, John Watts.
John Watts, John there Watts. We go.
John Watts, all right.
So, like, almost all of those movies feel the exact same. And it's kind of until the Russo brothers come in where it starts to feel a little bit different.
Yeah, it was with Winter Soldier. You do get Iron Man 3 before. But that was kind of a one-off. Like,
they were kind of like, it wasn't the full Shane Black experience.
Definitely, and we've never gotten the full out of any one of these, which is one of my biggest complaints with this universe. It's just
like the Star Wars universe. We're not going to.
Absolutely, because Disney is evil. Is basically what I'm getting at.
Well, no, they have their
hot take for the night.
Yeah, they have their algorithm.
I don't think that's a hot take.
That, like,
no, it's not.
It's real paint by numbers, and we're gonna decide what the numbers are gonna be, and you may get decide you know what shade of blue you're gonna use, but not much beyond that.
Right.
That, and if we don't like what you're doing, we will remove you from the set of the film.
And polish up the behind the scenes to make it look like everybody had a wonderful time and you just exited because you were busy doing other things.
Yeah, I'm surprised that hasn't happened more with the MCU. I mean, Edgar Wright's really the only time that that's kind of happened. He exited the project like a week before filming started, I think. I mean, he wrote the screenplay for it.
What it could have been.
Yeah.
And it would have always had that interference in it, and I'm pretty sure that's why he left. It was because he was not willing to sacrifice that much of his movie. But then you get... I have to say with...
Did you know what I feel like happened? So I feel like, you know, Edgar Wright, good friends with Chris Nolan, most successful superhero film director of all time. They had one conversation, and Edgar Wright was like, yeah, Disney told me, Chris Nolan was like, someone gave you a demand, quit this movie. You're an artist. Yeah. Uh-huh. Wait, they want you to shoot on digital, walk away.
Yeah.
I really feel like it was a nail biter whether or not they were going to allow Simon Pegg to be in the movie, and at the end they said no, so he was like, I'm not doing it.
Nah, I'm out.
But yeah, you can really see, like, in the later years with James Gunn, because James Gunn is a very distinct filmmaker. You can tell his movies apart from pretty much anybody else. And Taika Waititi, especially, with those two, they stick out to me a lot, because they have distinct styles, and they really, I would say they gave them 60% control.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of think they give Taika Waititi more control than they gave anyone else.
I'm pretty sure Gunn got the most to me because of what I know from Taika Waititi's work. He got most of it, but he didn't get as much as
the whole.
No.
That one does, it just feels so different from any other.
Yep.
I think with Gunn, though, the other thing is they didn't have as much writing.
No,
surely
they didn't.
They did not think Guardians was going to be the hit that it was.
No.
No. Nobody did. That movie, the preview was so weird. Everybody was I'm intrigued.
I'd never heard of Guardians of the Galaxy until that movie.
Yeah, nobody
never
had.
Never heard of the property.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. And I kind of get that with Spider-Man Homecoming and Black Panther. You can see Coogler's fingerprints all over it with Black Panther. John Watts, who directed Spider-Man Homecoming, he does have a distinct style, but I don't know it yet.
I don't either.
So it was...
I mean, a lot of it was homage, which is
for sure.
Clear,
yeah,
but
it definitely was. And it was also, they did not give that movie the freedom the other ones got because it was half a Tony Stark movie.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know why they didn't think that movie could stand on its own, because I do, the Tony Stark parts of it were my least favorite parts of that movie.
Too. Yep. And I get what they were going for, but it could have been its own thing.
They thought it couldn't stand on its own. It's Spider-Man. He's the most famous superhero outside of Batman.
Yeah.
I would even say, as far as movies go, even more than Superman. Like, he's a bigger draw.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I mean, they've had six movies.
Yeah.
In the 21st century of Spider-Man.
Yeah. But I agree. So I think if we're talking about maybe, can we kind of move into what maybe things could have done better?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I think as far as what could be done better, it is complicated because the thing is, what can be done from a filmmaking standpoint? I mean, a lot. Like, we could all say that there's a lot. What could be done better from a marketing standpoint? Zero.
Oh, no.
I mean, God. This is the most brilliant business move. One of, if not the most brilliant business move in the history of movies.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I mean, whoever's idea this was, like, whatever intern was like, hey, you know, I mean, did you ever just think, I hope that they have, like, three houses in Malibu right now, because this was the $1 trillion idea. Now, well, and if, and I do believe that if Marvel decided to, I'm sorry, if Disney decided at this point that, I mean, they are moving in a direction where they're giving younger filmmakers more freedom, but I don't think that this franchise would do as well with The Dark Knight.
No.
With something that just sheds, like, these are superhero movies for people who love superhero movies.
Yeah.
Well, I agree, but I do think they could have benefited from making a Dark Knight type, you know, one of those movies that is that good. And I think they've, not in the context of The Dark Knight, but they've made some that are going to kind of had the same, I won't say equal to, the legacy of that movie, like Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be one of those movies nobody's ever going to forget. Right. And Black Panther is going to be that way too.
Mm. Yeah, I'd say so.
Even though I feel like, especially Black Panther's grossly beneath The Dark Knight on a movie-making level. Guardians of the Galaxy, for what it is pretty much flawless for the movie that it is. And
for like a fun space western comedy, it nails it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
And that's one of those things about where Christopher Nolan, since we're talking about Batman, Christopher Nolan made each movie on its own, never knowing that he was going to make another one.
Yeah.
And that was kind of his whole thing, and he had total control over those movies. Where Marvel is like kind of, it's less about the details and it's more about where we're getting to. It's kind of the overall arching thing where they would rather make 20 good movies than 3 great movies.
Because they have a franchise to think of.
Yeah.
Like, these movies, to be clear, are more business than movie.
Yeah.
And they're a product.
Yes.
Well, like, the way you describe that, it's like it's a bad thing, but I don't think they've made the wrong decision. Now, no, I would like the Dark Knight equivalent in the MCU, but, you know, they're just printing money. I mean, clearly they have made all the right decisions so far.
Now, if we're talking from a purely monetary standpoint, mm-hmm. yeah, I got nothing to say about that because they're in my face 24/7 and I'm tired of it. But
well, and DC, in fact, has tried to jump on that train and not been successful. I mean, they even have.
Well, DC was stupid about what they did and they tried to play catch up.
Yeah, they tried to play catch-up, and also the tone for every DC movie has been different from the previous one. And yes. I know we kind of we joke about how there's the Marvel template and everything, but the fact that these all feel like they're just parts of the same whole, like every movie right. feels related to the last one in tone, it helps. It's impressive, but it also helps with the audience.
It keeps consistency where where the DC has yet to do that.
Right. I mean, the most beloved DCEU movie is Wonder Woman, and it's not even close. And it's the one movie that feels most like an MCU movie.
Now, it does. Absolutely.
Now, I myself prefer Man of Steel. But yes. That movie was never going to be as big because of it's just too grand.
From the years I've spent watching these movies and, you know, seeing reviews and kind of just talking about it with people, is there's been this one common theme that I've come across is that they complain that they don't want their superhero movies too dark. Which is the opposite of me. I want it. I want to go as dark as possible. But I kind of get what they're saying because Marvel comics are not dark. Yeah, they're just not. Compared to DC, they're definitely. I mean, it's literally night and day.
I mean, have you read Civil War? It's a pretty dark.
Well, comic. Okay, it has moments, but yeah. Batman is like a dark.
Yeah.
DC has like Spawn.
It's funny though because that is a recent development. Well, I say recent. Obviously, Batman has been that way. But at its origins, that was more flipped, where DC was very wholesome and Marvel was gritty.
They had Superman.
Super Friends. They had the Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with the Lasso of Truth and all that.
You had the X-Men, which was like a metaphor for like racism and gay rights.
Yeah.
All these things.
I mean, the X-Men comics have always them and the Batman comics have always been the most popular and also the most interesting because you can go into deeper matters when it comes to those.
Right. And that shows up in these movies, particularly when you look at a lot of it comes down to villains for me. Mm. When you look at The Dark Knight, you get the Joker who is dark enough in the sense that like he kills people. Like there are stakes. He causes stakes for the world that he's in. Same way with these new Magnetos, like there are stakes. He kills people. Like it's very real what he's doing.
He is a villain who in a way is best friends with his the primary protagonist, Professor X. Like, their relationship is so rich and complicated in a way that you don't get with other superheroes.
That's what
makes
those great.
Not only that, they're two sides of the same coin.
Yes. Same way with, I mean, that's Batman. Yeah. That's the same thing.
That's Batman and the Joker, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And with those properties, you get conflicted characters, where in Marvel you don't really get those conflicted characters because a lot of them are kind of like Superman, where Superman doesn't have a lot of conflict within himself other than he doesn't know if he's Earthborn or an alien. He's kind of torn between that, but he's not Batman arguing with should I kill the Joker to save people or not break my rule.
So the character they've tried with in the MCU and at times has been interesting is Captain America. And to me, the parts of Civil War that were most interesting were the parts when it came to sort of that dilemma in Captain America of, like, I have my sense of what is right.
Yep.
And it's interesting with that character because that is the Superman of the MCU. Obviously not in powers, but in... moral fortitude. Mm-hmm. And so to make him the center of, the internal conflict, it is interesting. But again, we get down to in the middle of that movie, it's very cool. The fight is very cool. It's very fun. But it really, in a lot of ways, has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. I mean, it does because it set up the conflict inside. But it's all been fun the whole time. It's the tone of it shifts to where you're like, this is awesome. Where that ending fight between Captain America and Tony Stark, you're not like, this is awesome. You're like, oh, like, this is a rift formed between two close friends. And it's emotional. And they can't commit to one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll only let themselves go into sort of this moral gray area or into a more complicated hero only so far before they need to reel it back in to appeal to the Bon Jovi crowd.
When it comes to Captain America, this was a point I wanted to bring up, was I feel like they're so creatively bankrupt with him right now. They just don't know what to do with him. Because they did try to create some conflict with him, but he has just been focused on Bucky for 10 years. And it's kind of getting old. I just wish that they could write some way for him to have some conflict. Because when you look at the best characters in the MCU, to me, it's the most conflicted ones, with Peter Quill is using humor to cover up all of the crazy crap that's gone on in his life.
Yeah.
And you get people like
To me,
T'Challa, who's kind of you know, well, struggling with what his dad's beliefs were.
She hasn't got her own movie yet, but Black Widow.
Absolutely. Yeah. She has the most depth of any character. Mm-hmm. But
I think so, too. And I'm ready for that movie.
I am, too.
I want it to be a full, like, just a full spy movie that does not feel like an MCU movie. I really hope they give that to her.
Red Sparrow, but more violent. I was going to say, whenever we're talking about Professor X, Batman, those kind of characters, and how MCU doesn't have one, I think there's a possibility we could get into some of that with T'Challa, with him trying to bring Wakanda into the 21st century. I think there's at least the potential for them to do something more, because it's kind of a... Mm-hmm. It's about the ideas, like the war of two different ideals.
Right. That's what they did with his character, which I really liked, and not a lot of people talk about, is the conflict with T'Challa,
mm-hmm.
and his beliefs versus, you know, his kind of, yeah, my dad believed this and he was a great king, but also, I don't agree with that.
Look at the things he did. But yep. I mean, and with Killmonger there, he helped kind of push that along, because part of you is kind of like, you know, he's got a point whenever Killmonger's talking.
Which is what makes the best villains.
Right. That's why Magneto is so appealing to everyone.
When you can see a villain and you can kind of get on board with their message, or at least see where they're coming from.
Right.
Like the Joker. Like Scarecrow, even. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, because Ra's al Ghul is basically Killmonger. They kind of want the same thing.
Yeah.
To purge the bad...
So, one area that DC has suffered is that they have not had a good villain yet.
No.
I agree with that
100%.
No.
The Justice League was Steppenwolf?
Yep.
Awful.
No magic carpet rides. he was... That they literally like went into Adobe After Effects and got a cutout of something and pasted it in there.
I mean, Man of Steel, which we did an entire...
I was about to say, Man of Steel would be the closest, but...
True, I forgot. I mean,
we did an entire episode, and so we talked about it, and I love Michael Shannon. Mm-hmm. I thought he was cast well,
but... He did a great job.
And it wasn't so much the villain part of that movie as when it actually became a superhero movie is what bothered me, but... Also, I kind of felt the same way about Wonder Woman.
Absolutely. Wonder Woman did not have a great villain.
Yeah. So I don't know what their answer is.
I don't either.
They have a really good opportunity with this Matt Reeves Batman to completely flip the tone, because Matt Reeves makes good movies.
Yeah.
And Batman is...
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Fire Ben Affleck and over him.
Oh, they ain't going to have to fire him. He's pretty much done with this.
He is, right?
They've already been shopping around for a new Batman anyway.
I think Affleck may stick around for another Justice League movie or something like that. Will. But for the Matt Reeves Batman movie, I think they're going to cast younger.
I think you get that back tattoo.
My God.
You're out. You did it yourself.
My God.
It is...
He,
how about them apples?
He had everybody on his side in 2012. What happened?
He got too overwhelmed.
He took too many steroids when he was prepping for Batman v Superman.
I think here's the deal. I don't have an opinion on Jennifer Garner, but she seems like a nice lady.
Yeah.
And
I like her.
Yeah, me too. And so I think the public opinion turned there. And then I think he just kind of seems like an a-hole. And we're all done.
He's from Boston.
I'm done. I'm over it. Who do we want to play Batman?
Gyllenhaal's in the running.
I don't want that.
I don't think I want him either, even though...
It would be great, but I don't want that for him.
No.
Right.
Like, he has... other things to do.
That's the thing. I want it to be somebody that I don't care that they're not making something else.
But that also is going to be great.
Yeah.
I think they kind of... I wouldn't hate it if they went with kind of a up-and-comer, unknown kind of person, kind of like a Cavill.
What about the problem, Army Hammer?
I think the problem is, though, that's too young.
Wait, Army Hammer's too young?
I think so.
Really?
Timothy Chalamet.
He's like 30-something. How old do you want Batman to be?
Well, I guess that depends on are we picking up in the same universe or not.
Oh, that's true. No, so in my mind, they're starting on a like blank slate. Story-wise, anyways.
Army Hammer's a good actor. I don't want him as Batman.
Okay.
I don't know who I want. I couldn't tell you right now.
There's probably a fourth Hemsworth that we don't know about.
Yeah.
It's going
to be a very good actor, though.
Yeah, there's going to be I think they're going to do, for sure, Jeffrey Dean Morgan in a Paradox movie. I'm not joking. I really believe they are. But, yeah. This is devolving into a discussion I'm going to have to put in the outtakes.
Yeah,
that is.
So now let's talk a little bit about my favorite subject, superhero and blockbuster fatigue.
Are these like army fatigues or...
It's literally what John David just made. The sound he just made is what this is about.
Yeah. I think we're all collectively tired of them. I mean,
yes.
It's especially now that we're getting them in February and November. It's nonstop.
It's all it's going to be is Star Wars and Marvel from here on out.
It really is. Every other month we're going to get a Marvel movie and a Star Wars movie. Yeah.
And then we're going to get crossovers.
Is you take things that I really enjoy and you make me not enjoy them.
I mean,
it's like if you gave me chocolate cake three meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that.
Well, yeah. Are you saying that you would not give these the privilege of comparing them to chocolate cake?
Maybe grocery store bought chocolate cake.
Okay. Piggly Wiggly cake.
A can of Chef Boyardee ravioli.
SpaghettiOs.
I'm going to put these a step above that, actually.
Nah.
Okay.
Well, that's how highly I think of Chef Boyardee ravioli.
Listen, am I tired of them? Yes. I have seen every MCU movie in theaters. I've realized that as we recorded this. Yeah. Will I see every one of them in theaters going forward? Probably. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've been with it this long. I'll probably keep sticking with it, but...
I've seen every one of them that I've seen, which is the only ones I have not seen are Captain America 2 and 3. I have also seen in theaters. I'm realizing this now as well.
Yeah.
You know, and this kind of brings me to a weird realization I had. I think it was... God, it must have been 6 months ago, where we were talking about Justice League. And I realized, and you said, John David, that you didn't see it in theaters. Like, you haven't seen it.
I have not seen it.
And that, when I heard that, I'm like, we're just tired of superhero movies. Like, that's just kind of the general idea. And that's how I was with, I remember when I went into, I want to say it was Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. I was just like, as long as this movie entertains me for an hour and a half, I'll be okay with it. Because I was not excited. I didn't care. And I'm kind of that way with pretty much everything. I'm more interested to see if Infinity War is the biggest mess of all time than I am to see what happens in it. Like, if it's a good movie.
I mean, we haven't talked about that. I mean, there's a possibility this movie is bad.
Yeah.
And a tiny part of me roots for that.
It would be funny.
That's what I'm saying.
It's all been building for this.
Because I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I hope it's really good. I hope they do an interesting thing that I've not seen before. I don't think they will.
No.
But a little part of me would think it was funny if it were, like, terrible.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, me too. I mean...
I really wish these last two Infinity War movies would be good, and then I can kind of just... lay this part of my movie watching career to rest.
Wash my hands.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, for also,
and then deal with Star Wars for the next 15 years. I'm going to get a Disney tattoo. That way I can be a part of the brand.
Okay. When it comes to superhero fatigue, there is a cure for this. And I will say, in Phase 3, like we've talked about, the movies have improved.
Yeah.
They are getting better. And if you give me interesting movies, then I'm okay. If you up your game, if you give me, you know, for example, if you give me an incredible crime movie that involves superheroes, if you give me an incredible coming-of-age movie, if you give me Incredibles, I love all these things, sci-fi movie, whatever it is, and it also involves superheroes, I don't care what character you throw in it. I want a good movie. And right now they are also on a trend of bringing on like upcoming directors that people don't know but should know, who are making interesting things that they're bringing in. And part of me hates it for those directors. I mean, it's great because they are getting paid, and I'm all for that. But I mean, I still want them to go and make their original interesting things. But from Marvel standpoint, that's a very, very, very smart move.
Yeah, I mean, like Ryan Coogler, who I've talked about for years on this podcast. Yeah. I love Ryan Coogler. The man could, like, he may get promoted to running the Marvel portion of Disney before this is all over with. But also, I hate that we're not getting more movies like Fruitvale Station out of him, which we might. I mean,
exactly.
He's kind of done his own passion projects. He's made three movies. Listen to this. He made Fruitvale Station, Creed, and then he made Black Panther. Those are his first three movies.
Exactly.
Each one in its own right is, like, great. I mean, like, this is a run of movies, like, akin to Spielberg or something. Like, I know some people are calling him the Black Spielberg. I can't disagree with it. He knows what notes to hit to really affect his audience. He's very good at it. I'm very excited what he's going to do next. But I hate that he spent 2 years working in Marvel, even though I like Black Panther.
Does this make Michael B. Jordan the Black Tom Hanks?
I'm going to say no.
And Forrest Whitaker the Black Mark Rylance.
Yes, I'll give that one mine.
We might be there. We might be there.
When does Ryan Coogler make a shark movie?
Deep Blue Sea 3.
The second one just came out, and I'm like, what? There was a second one?
Genetically enhanced sharks.
So I think, it is interesting. It's because... So, and now we had Patty Jenkins did a great job on Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Kenneth Branagh, an established director, did not do a great job. But the Russo brothers, they also really did fall in that category. They were upcoming directors whose entire fate has now been sealed.
Yeah, I mean,
this is what they do forever.
The only thing anybody knew from the Russos was the paintball episodes from Community.
Yep.
Exactly.
And now the fate of the Avengers rests on their shoulders.
And that's who the next Captain America is. It's going to be one of those standing in for each other.
Joel McHale.
Just the Captain. No, the Russo brothers. No, it'll be Jim Rash.
Oh, I'm there. I'm in. I'm back in Marvel. I'll watch everything.
That's like the next step for them, right? It's got to be like a spoof of their own movies. That's got to be a Marvel movie.
I hope so.
So now we're going to list our top five favorite Marvel movies with no explanation because it doesn't need it.
These are MCU movies.
Yes, all MCU movies.
Okay.
Iron Man through now.
All right. I'll start.
Okay.
Number one, Iron Man. Number two, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number three, Black Panther. Number four, Winter Soldier. And number five, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Good, Colby.
Okay, I'm going to go with the polar opposite of that list. I'm going to go number one, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Number two. What? Number two.
That is a 4.0 on the take quake scale.
Number two, I am going with Captain America Civil War. Number three, I'm going Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Four, The Avengers. Five, Thor Ragnarok.
That is an interesting list, sir. Uh-huh. All right. my number one is Thor Ragnarok, number two, Black Panther, number three, Captain America, Winter Soldier, number four, Guardians of the Galaxy, Uno, and number five, Doctor Strange.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I did not think Black Panther would be above Winter Soldier for you. Interesting.
I think it's a cooler movie.
It is.
I think it's a better movie.
Better soundtrack.
Yeah.
It is a better soundtrack.
I don't think the Winter Soldier didn't have future
had a soundtrack, so there's that.
Well, there were a lot of references to songs from the 70s, like there was a reference to a Marvin Gaye album, I believe.
Yep.
Hawkeye was telling him
that is if I had a time machine and I could go back and change anything in this world, future would do the soundtracks for Captain America. Because for whatever reason,
I would change something too. And Taylor Swift would do the soundtrack for Black Panther. That's the world I want to live in.
And how she relates to being a Black Panther.
She would just do that cover of September. That's what she would do the whole time.
Oh no, what if the Cheetah Girls did the Black Panther soundtrack?
And Raven Simone stars.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Cheetah Girls do the soundtrack for Wonder Woman 2, which stars Kristen Wiig.
As the Cheetah.
I do think we're being very irresponsible with the time machine that we have been gifted.
I don't think so. I think there's a lot of things. These are all things I would enjoy.
Okay.
I'm confident in my choices.
History may not be kind to this.
True. I'm killing George Lucas. We got a time machine to kill him.
He's kidding.
No, I'm not.
Hitler goes free.
If I had to choose. Right now. Okay. Yeah, if I had to choose, George Lucas, for sure. We could have stopped all of this a long time ago. yeah. Okay, so we've all given our top fives.
Top five.
Interesting. Okay. I think it reflects our personalities.
I think it does.
We didn't talk at all about, and I don't even know if I'm going to leave this in. We didn't talk at all about a little show called Daredevil, which is technically a part of this, right?
Yeah,
I've never seen an episode.
Oh my god, it's so good!
It's so great. There's your homework. Daredevil. Yeah. It's on Netflix.
I'm definitely going to jump right on that.
John David, you would like it.
You would.
I'm sure I'd like most of the things y'all suggest. I just don't watch them.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Question. How do we think this is going to do at the box office?
I will say, I don't know that it overtakes Black Panther.
I'm saying there is no way that it overtakes Black Panther.
Because this is not going to get the reviews Black Panther's going to get. I do not believe it.
So, listen, here's my prediction on this. It will make more in its opening weekend than Black Panther did, because I think Black Panther made like right around $200 million. I think this is going to make somewhere between $220-$230. How good it is will be the deciding factor in how
there's
much
the
it
key.
Makes, because it's going to be going up against a lot better competition. I mean, like 2 weeks after it's released, we have, I think it's either Solo or Deadpool 2 come out. And
Solo
then
comes out beginning of May.
Yeah, so we get Solo like 2 weeks after this is released, and then a week after that we get Deadpool 2, and then it's just blockbuster to compete with every weekend. Whereas Black Panther, I mean, it was released, and then we had like Annihilation, which I love Annihilation, but it's not taking eyeballs away from Black Panther.
Well, it did mine.
Yeah.
I am one person, and I have a movie pass.
Black Panther was a movie that word of mouth.
Right. And I think
a long way. This will not be that case.
No, it's going to be the opposite to me. I really feel like this movie is going to be mediocre. I think it's going to be so bloated that people are going to be so really divided on it. And it's just the numbers are going to go down where Black Panther's numbers went skyrocket, like from their first week. I think it's just. It's not going to, where Black Panther grew, this one's going to do the opposite.
So, we are talking about domestically here, just so that everybody.
I'm talking strictly about the Chinese. Okay. I don't know what everybody else
because
is talking about.
Worldwide, this may pass Black Panther, Black Panther is currently 10th all time. The first Avengers is number 5 all time.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Because one of the reasons Black Panther did so well in America is because it hit right now. I mean, it hit at the right moment for this movie. And worldwide, obviously the world is not in the exact same place as America.
Right.
Know?
And so, all the Republicans will go see Infinity War.
They sure love Winter Soldier.
This will be... Well, worldwide, this is going to be a smash.
Yeah.
How do I know that? Because every Pirates of the Caribbean movie is a worldwide smash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And deservedly so.
Listen, let me give you all a little fun fact.
Pirates 4 and 5. I'm just going to throw that out there. That's my hot take. I think Pirates 4 and 5 are better than Pirates 2 and 3.
Dude, what?
I think Pirates 5 is...
That's a scorcher, John David.
I do not like Pirates 2 and 3. Like, I actively dislike those movies.
Okay, little fun fact about Pirates of the Caribbean. Did y'all know that Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides is the most expensive movie ever made by more than $100 million over the next closest?
I'm sorry, what?
It costs like $380 million to make that movie.
So what's number two? Avatar?
I just read it. Oh, no, it's Infinity War. Oh. I'm pretty sure that the budget leaked for that one, and it's like $280 million.
And that ties back into this whole, oh, God, we're going to get $500 million movies, and they're going to be worthless. I'm going to watch them and be like, eh, yeah.
But that's the thing. They're too big now.
Right.
Like, so what made movies, blockbusters from the 70s and 80s, like Raiders, like Star Wars, like Jaws, entire companies' lives did not depend on the success of that movie. Like, uh-huh. Indiana Jones just got to be its own movie, and it became one of the biggest movies of all time because it was a good movie, not because it was, like, strategically created in a lab.
A product. And yeah. And you see what happens when it became a product.
Yeah.
We got Mutt.
Yeah. We got Crystal Skull.
George Lucas, again.
By the way, on Stranger Tides is number one. At World's End is number two.
Okay.
Infinity War is tied with, ironically,
Tangled.
Justice League.
Oh, darn. I thought it was going to be Tangled.
Number seven.
Yeah. I knew that was an expensive one.
Yep.
That was all mustache money, though.
Yep.
That's what got that one.
Yeah. And right behind that, Boyhood. Do you know how much 12 years worth of film cost?
They didn't stop filming for 12 years.
They just set the cameras up and let them roll. Everything caught on film. The editing was terrible, from what I understand.
Oh, God.
I'm going to burn down the studios. Good thing we don't have one.
We do want to say that sometime within the first week after Infinity War is released, we are going to record an episode. Hopefully the timing all works out, but sometime in the near future, we will have a full episode review of Infinity War, kind of breaking that down, what we liked, what we disliked. Hopefully we'll get to make fun of it a lot.
What I live for.
So we've got that on the horizon, and yeah, the summer movie season is just about to, it's about to get started.
It is.
Duh.
Hey, I would just like to talk to all of our listeners super quickly and say that there are a few things I like more than arguing with you on the internet. I mean, it makes my life. So please, please find us on Twitter. I'm ready for you.
Twitter.
I want to fight.
The Book Podcast Civil War.
Yeah.
We have a potential for three really good episodes with these summer blockbusters, because we've got Infinity War, Solo, and Jurassic World, and all three of those have, we don't know where they're going.
No, they could all be terrible.
And I kind of hope they are.
All be great.
Yeah. Speaking of Twitter, you can find each of us on Twitter. You can find me at Exactly.
I am at CJ Matthews 23.
And John David. I'm not John David Wrights.
All right.
Or his alternate account, Charles Stiles Mystery Diner.
Also, our podcast has a Twitter account. It is at The Boat Podcast. Follow us on there. Slide into them DMs.
Please don't.
Let's see. Speaking of Twitter, I do want to give a quick recommendation. We're not doing homework this episode, but I'm going to give a recommendation to follow the Page to Screen Twitter account. It's like my favorite thing on there right now, which is where they sync up the script with the movie scene. And they've been doing it for different movies. Like, I watched one for Manchester by the Sea today and one for The Social Network. It's a really cool thing to see, especially if you're into movies the way that we are.
I will do that right now.
Yeah, it's my favorite Twitter account.
Yep. Donate to our Patreon by sending it to Dothan, Alabama via mail. We don't have a Patreon.
P.O. Box.
If you have to check out the Coleman Matthews, he'll make sure that it gets on our Patreon account.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I don't think we have anything else to say.
I got plenty to say, but
said a lot.
Not on this.
All. Yeah. The words of Howard Stern, we've said it all. All right, well, we are going to let you guys go. We are off to write our own philosophy book, one tweet at a time. Shout out to Yeezy. You stay classy.
And I'm ending that with New Slaves. It's good, it's good.
Colby, have so much fun ending this episode.
Oh, it's going to be a nightmare for you.
I don't think it's going to be terrible.
No? Yeah. Are we starting a political podcast called Locker Room Talk? Find out in this episode. Have you watched Phantom Thread yet?
No.
That's a stupid question.
Do you think I haven't watched Phantom Thread yet?
Yes.
You leave Alicia Vikander out of this. Talk about Chris Evans if you're going to talk about this.
She is a great actress. There's no doubt. However.
So what did y'all think of the new Justice League? I liked it. Today's... What, John David?
What?
Okay.
Is that the one where it's like the cult in Montana?
It is so good.
You're hunting down redneck cultists. Uh-huh. It's the best.
That's the best idea ever.